Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And direct from the city of Atlantis, otherwise known as Eugene, Oregon. It's me, Robin, and over there in the sunny side of Cottage Grove.
I thought Atlantis was underwater.
That's my point.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe that might be it. I mean, it's not that bad here. It's not raining.
So. See, we're selfish. We keep all the rain to ourselves.
I'd be more than happy to give it to you. I've noticed that it's really interesting whenever we drove up to Eugene the other day, and when we went up there from here, it was really nice, and then it rained in Eugene, and then when we came back, it was fairly nice in Eugene, and it rained when we got back here, so whatever it's not doing in Eugene, we get.
Yes, and what it's not doing in Eugene right now, by the way, is people calling in at 646-721-9887, which could be the reason why they're not calling in at the moment, because I just didn't give them the number, so they know which number to dial. You can dial random numbers, but it may take you a while to get to us.
Take you a little while, yeah. That was 646-721-9887. I have to say that because I've got this little label that's stuck on the top of my monitor. It's been there for years, and I have to use it because, you know, there's no other reason for it to be there.
So what you're saying is that all this time you still need a prompter.
Absolutely. There's no way I'd be able to remember. I don't have a good memory. I don't have a good memory at all. I don't, you know, once I get through with what we're doing for the day and then I erase it off the screen, I'm lost.
Yes.
And so that's why the little label has to be up there because I can't erase it off the screen.
Well, just to make sure that somebody else, was trying to copy it down and do the same thing, because I know that thousands of people are out there doing that, 646-721-9887. Emails go to talk@krbnradio.com. And by the way, I'd like to thank the people that have been sending us emails and the news tips too. Always glad to receive them. I do appreciate the input and feedback. Always glad.
If you'll send us your name and address, I'll be more than happy to send you a little label to put on the top of your screen.
You would.
I would.
Yeah. Sticky notes are cheap.
Yeah. I've got a whole bag of them here.
Exactly. We're live right now, and unless you're listening to us on the archives, then we're not live, but if you give us a call, 646-721-9887, you can listen to the program live without worrying about that we're going to put you on the air. If you decide you'd like to join the conversation, just push 1 on your touch-tone phone, and it comes up on my board, and I go, welcome to the program, area code XYZ, and you are talking to millions of people around the world, no pressure. You can also, as I said, you can listen to us on the archives, on Blog Talk Radio, or on iTunes. Just do a search, iTunes KRBN. Chat room's open right now. Unfortunately, unless you have a Blog Talk Radio account, which is free, by the way, you can only watch what's going on in the chat room. You cannot participate. So it wouldn't hurt just to get yourself a listener-only account if you'd like to participate, which we always are glad to have people there, too. And Cliff is amazing how well I can multitask and talk with people in the chat room and talk with Cliff and talk with you. So
yeah, that's true. You do that. I can't do that at all. I can't even type while I'm talking because once I'm thinking of something, I've got to finish thinking about it or it's lost.
Yes.
It's terrible.
And speaking of talking about things, we got a few things on the docket today. And again, I like to invite people, even though we come up with topics, we're not welded to those topics.
Oh, please.
If
yes.
That's something you'd like help to talk about, you know, give us a call. We have been known to change 180 degrees on the directions in a heartbeat. But anyways, what we do have on our docket for today is a little bit about what's going on with the Benghazi and John Boehner, as well as some Veterans Affairs news that Cliff has also, including aircraft.
Well, I've got a really important thing, too, about these little gyrocopters.
Yes.
We've got to cover those. That's the most important thing.
That's where I was going. And the power of the executive order, there's a group that's been suggesting 14 different ways that Obama can use his executive power to change immigration. which will cover some of that and some of the comments on that.
The thing is, are any of them good?
It's hilarious.
I don't think it's hilarious. I'm really sorry. I really think this Obama thing is really hurting us. We've got to get the next 2 years out of the way in a hurry.
Oh, no kidding. I was listening to excerpts of an he's still in campaign mode, and what's really sad is he's getting, and I wish I had time to get the audios for this, but he's out there still pushing his health care thing. So I don't understand why people are against having health care. It's not the fact that we're against having health care, is that there's news articles just about daily now where companies have lost their health care because the insurance are canceling them, and then the premiums are doubling.
That's it. The old bit about it's going to be cheaper, it's not going to be cheaper. He knew it wasn't going to be cheaper, and he just said it. And it's not cheaper. It's not cheaper for almost anybody.
No.
There are some instances where you were that I heard on the television yesterday morning. I pick up a lot of stuff off the TV. They have pretty good information, but we're not being cheaper. It's terrible. It's going to destroy a lot of what's going on in our country.
Well, and on that same token, he pushed through his home campaign. It was going to save like $2,500 a year or something like that. It'd be cheaper, better, you know, a whole bunch of things. It's not. In fact, even it was supposed to be paying a fine, which they deemed you can't do that, so they changed it into a tax, which the way they did it is illegal. Why in the hell, if it's not what he said it would do and it's totally the opposite, number one, why isn't there investigations or doing whatever, why is the law not being suspended, for one? For two, it's not working. And
I really think that he believes if he can keep it going for 2 years while he's still there, he's gonna save it. And you watch. As soon as we get somebody new in there for president, first of all, they're going to probably campaign on that. I don't care who it is. They're going to campaign on that. But the first thing we get somebody in there, and they're going to get rid of that whole damn thing.
Well, okay, you're right. They're going to campaign on getting rid of Obamacare. Are they going to do like Monica Webby saying that we're going to get rid of it and replace it with something else? Bad point, too, as well. Go back to the private sector, in my opinion. If you want to do anything good, change the law where insurance companies can offer insurance from different states instead of being localized, you know, law requiring being localized in the same state.
I don't see how that helps us.
No, well, it's just competition. But anyway, here's the thing. They're going to, and this is the thing that really irks me, as you can start to tell I'm getting a little upset here, is that they advertised that they came out and say that, okay, elect me, I'm going to get rid of Obamacare. We elect them on that ground that they're going to do this, and they decide, well, you know, I've had second thoughts. It's really not.
Well, they find out that it's difficult. They find out it's not as easy as they thought it would. And then they don't want to go in and delve into it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. But they decide they don't want to. How many times have we heard politicians promise, we're going to do this, and then once we get them in office, they don't, well, I'm elected now. Ha, ha, ha. I'm at least here for 4 years. You guys can't do anything about it, and you guys will probably forget everything that I said anyways. By the time it comes up for re-election, you'll put me right back in because you've heard of me. They don't care. There's no checks and balances to hold these guys to the fire when they make these promises, and this is why we put them into office.
Yeah, I tell you. It's very upsetting that he can get away with this because he's the president. I mean, if he goes someplace to talk, he is the president, so everybody listens. And it shouldn't be that way. I mean, there's a lot of places where he is saying such stupid things. It would, you know, it's just too bad that we have so many people listening to him. And there's an awful lot of people. I don't know how. I don't want to.
Our checks and balances aren't working. That's why I keep hogging it. We need to borrow from Parliament and have a better system, like a vote of no confidence, for example. Because how many times has the word impeachment come up? And we hear our senators and congressmen are going, well, I'm going to introduce an article of impeachment, and it's dead.
Yeah.
Nobody
wants to.
It's rain. You know,
we've got an awful lot of people that are just, I'm sorry, but they're really not listening. They're hearing what they're hearing, but they're not listening to him, and they're just hearing the part that they want to hear. And we've got an awful lot of people. Those are the people that are keeping him in office. Those are the people that are they just half hear what they want, and it's okay because they don't hear the bad parts. They only hear what they want to hear. And it's because of them that we're keeping him in office. We've got to get some people to wake up and listen with their ears all the way open, because I believe if everybody woke up and literally paid attention, and it is making a difference. The tide is changing, but more people are paying attention, and we have them out of there even earlier if necessary, but at least they're paying attention to the point that we're going to, I believe, I really want to find out who's going to be running for office in a couple of years.
They're trying to push Hillary. Well, here's the thing, is it's not, like I've been saying, it's not, no changes are going to be made until it hits her pocketbook. That's what Obamacare is going to be doing, especially in 2016, when it goes into full effect, unless he delayed that again. The only people that I hear that are having an advantage from Obamacare is, you know, people with children, you know, that you can go up to the age 26. A friend of mine, he's praising Obamacare up and down, saying, well, you know, if it wasn't for Obamacare, I wouldn't get insurance, because he works part-time. He's having to have trouble finding work. And I'm going, dude, first of all, you're low income. You'd qualify, A, because Oregon has their own health care system,
yeah.
You know, Oregon health care. You would qualify already for the Oregon health care. You qualify for Medicare. All this stuff you already qualify for, Obamacare has nothing to do with it.
Well, it has nothing to do with it, and he's just making it. He's taking money from the other programs that are out there, and moving them, and it's, you know, he's stealing,
yeah,
from people. I pretty much have it made because I'm on a fixed income that can't be stolen from, but he's stealing from a bunch of people, and he's going to continue that up until he's still trying.
He got into office both times because he's a used car salesman. He knows how to pick his audience, and he knows how to say what they want to hear, and he's still in campaign mode. People are paying big bucks, and he's still out there criticizing the millionaires and billionaires, although these are his audience that is paying thousands of dollars to come hear him speak, pushing the fact that, you know, we have to have equality. Equal pay for equal work is what I heard yesterday on a news snippet out of his mouth. And I'm going, it's already a federal law. If you're doing the exact same job, it doesn't matter what your gender is, you're supposed to get paid the same. Otherwise, it's what used to be scary, a violation of federal law. He's still pushing minimum wage. He's still pushing, you know, women's rights issues. He's still, it's like...
Well, it sounds good when you're talking about it on the television. It sounds really great. The thing is, you know, if he's not covering something new, why bother?
Right.
And he doesn't have anything new. He doesn't have anything new. He's done. He's at the end of his term, and why bother to think about it? Why bother to think of something new? He's just going over old scripts and covering them again, and that's all. That isn't accomplishing anything for us.
I'll tell you why he's doing this. He thinks,
yeah,
he's a rock star. He thinks everybody is, the whole world is coming to see him, Barack Obama.
Yeah, right.
They could care less about Barack Obama because right now it's just the office that he holds. I mean, like, you know, some of the former presidents, they come up and they try to do their speech or come out in a public appearance. Most people are just going, yeah, who cares?
You know, I hate to tell you this. The last place he spoke was at a Walmart in Mountain View. I used to live in Mountain View. If he got 40 people in there, I'd be amazed. So it's not that big a thing. Mountain View is a little town south of San Francisco, and nobody comes down from San Francisco even to see the President of the United States, I'm sure, because they know good and well out of San Francisco he's going to be up there sooner or later. So they're not going to come down from there. So, you know, first of all, he spoke at a Walmart. The Walmart there isn't that big. There's no place you can put more than 40 people.
Oh, I could just hear this going, you know, he's up there coming to you live and direct from aisle 40, and then while he's speaking over the intercom is, Doug, your car is ready.
That's about it. That's about it. And that's the kind of thing he's doing. He's not accomplishing anything. He's just, like I say, he's going over old speeches, I'm sure, that he's got laying around that somebody else is maybe, well, of course, you know, he has lots of money, and so he can hire speech writers, and they can make it sound a little different. But I don't think he's doing anything at all. He's not accomplishing anything for people. And I just, you know, he's just sitting there trying to live out the last two years of his office. And I it would be really nice if we could help him and just put him out of his misery.
Yeah, by firing him.
Yeah.
Well, the sad thing about it is that it's one thing for him going around playing rock star. The other thing is that, like the way the Obama administration is dealing with Russia and other issues of foreign affairs, and that is where it gets really dangerous and scary, especially like the Russians. You don't poke at the Russians, and you don't take them. The Russians are a real tiger, and you respect the tiger. Because
I don't believe the Russians are consider him any kind of a.
He's a joke.
He's a joke. Yeah, he's a joke. That's all he is.
And the thing, and this is a good lead-in to one of the topics, bullet point topics. By the way, if you'd like to join the program, I've got to throw that in there too, 646-721-9887. Feel free to jump in if there is something else that you would like to talk about. That's on your mind. We're always glad to change. And anyway, leading into that is the Benghazi affair, which is kind of funny because that is biting them in the butt as the truth comes out. And finally, John Boehner, reluctantly, is putting together a select committee to do the investigation to answer the question of what did Hillary, former Secretary of State, and what did Obama do at the time of the phone call that one of our consulates was under attack. And what's also amazing is that, of course, Nancy Pelosi, we all know which way she goes, and that's whichever way the wind blows. And
no, she was. I think she did exactly what she was told to do.
I'm talking about Nancy Pelosi.
Okay.
Not Condoleezza Rice. She came on there, and when a little backstory is during that time that they were blaming the turmoil over there in Benghazi based on a video that was made here in the U.S. In fact, as far as I know, that I don't know if the guy's still in jail or not that made it, but he was in jail for an extended long time. First of all, give these people over in Benghazi a little bit of credit. I know that we see on the news reports all the time. They're writing. You can take a news report and file footage of anything and make it look like anybody's. We can put together a footage to make it look like the whole city of Eugene is writing against the increased cost of popsicles.
Well, the thing is that this all happened actually before that video was even out, and the video really had nothing to do with it.
No, but it was one of the things that they came out. The White House came out, including Obama and Condoleezza Rice at the time, both came out and said that this is as a result of a video that was made. What it actually found out later on is that it was actually a terrorism attack against our consulate. They called and asked for help and didn't get it. And that was the question. What did Obama do after he got that phone call that there was a terrorism attack? Well, for one thing, it speculated he went back to bed because he had a fundraising event the next day, which he attended. So anyways, getting back to current.
I don't believe he even got the phone call.
Well, that's what they're trying to investigate now, and that's what John Boehner is finally under pressure starting to figure out what happened with Benghazi. And the thing is that there must be enough pressure because at least now the House is starting to encourage it, but still at bad margins, about 50% margin, 232 or 486 against it, to establish the committee charged with launching a comprehensive. I love that word, comprehensive. I have no idea what it means. But anyway, it just sounds neat. It rolls off your tongue, splat. Investigation aimed at answering the lingering question about what happened before, during, and after the terrorism attack that, you know, took four American lives. And, you know,
see, I think there's such a big confusion there. And the way things happened, I really don't think they know.
Well, who knows what really happened? Where was Hillary? Where was Obama? I mean, Hillary advertised in 2008 that who's going to answer that phone at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. That's we know that. What? That was her whole point. Nobody's going to answer it.
Yeah, she's, and I mean, even Obama doesn't even show up for his daily briefings most of the time.
Yeah. That's the thing.
This is our president who's in charge of running the country, and he's out roaming the, like you said, going to Walmarts, going to other places, and we got to worry about equality of the genders and equal rights and everything. And, dude, get out of the 60s, man.
Get out of somewhere. Yeah. I mean, at least wake up to something.
I'm surprised he hasn't called the White House racist.
Well,
that's
right. He may have. You don't know. I mean,
actually, it should be the Black House. You know why?
Why?
Because black, is it black? Okay, tell me my color scales. The combination of all colors is black? Okay, there
the
you
lack
go.
Of, the lack of color.
Totally inclusive would be the Black House.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's just too bad that it's so involved.
Actually, it should be the green
screen. The thing is, because he doesn't care. I don't believe he cares. And even when he did care, he didn't know what to do about it.
Well, he cares. He just doesn't care about us. He's, you know, if you go back and listen to the tapes, especially like in 2008, he said he had a vision of fundamentally changing the U.S. He also said he had a vision of single-payer health care. He is accomplishing that. In fact, if you went back and listened to the tapes of when he was at the nuclear conference in Malaysia, I don't have that bullet point. About talking about that, the U.S. is still dealing with racism, still hasn't got over, or still dealing with slavery, is still dealing with slavery?
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's just like there's a picture of Michelle Obama holding up a sign that says, please bring back our girls. And it's like, okay, what the hell is this?
Okay, now you're going to hit me on the point.
Okay.
I mean, we've got 300 girls that have been supposedly hijacked. Did you know that 2 weeks ago we had 200 boys that were murdered? They weren't just taken. They were murdered. And they're gone.
Well, you know what? They should send out a tweet in protest.
Who should send out a tweet?
Oh, the White House. They should rile up and send out a tweet.
Well, they don't care.
That's what I mean.
They didn't know about it. They didn't even hear about it because, see, he doesn't hear about things, or even whether, I don't know if he doesn't hear or if he doesn't listen about things, to things, until it's too late. And until he gets this group of people that tell him what to do, because he can't think of what to do. He doesn't know what to do.
You know how to tell when he's the different, when he's reading off the teleprompter and when he's actually ad-libbing it? He can't talk. Like when he's asked that question in, again, during that conference in Malaysia, he's like, I feel that, where's my lines? I need my lines.
Well, I'm not going to do that. He's a pretty good talker. He can think of things to say. They just don't necessarily mean anything. And the things he has to say a lot of times are just outright lies. He just doesn't care. And it's very upsetting because he's just lying to us a lot of times, most of the time. And consequently, I just can't wait to get him out of there. And the thing is, it scares me to think of what people are going to say once he's gone.
Yeah,
because
they're going to say it's for Hillary.
No.
They're already pushing her as a front runner.
That's a bunch of malarkey. Hillary isn't going to get anywhere.
Well, she's not. She hasn't even, to my knowledge, hasn't even said she wants to run. But here's.
Yeah, she's a Democrat.
Yeah, she's a Democrat. And here's
so
what,
she's not going to get anywhere. Democrats are not going to get anywhere. We've already.
Except for the people that are diehard Democrats, they don't care who the person is, just as long as they are a Democrat. Or same thing with Republicans.
I'm not going to say nobody will vote for them, but they're not going to get enough votes to win anything.
No, but here's what they may. Here's the thing that they really want. They are enjoying, 6 years of pushing their stuff through because people are afraid to criticize because you're racist. You get a woman president in there, and anything you need to do now, you're sexist. And then, of course, there, we get back to Hillary Care, which was exactly what Obama said. Hillary Care is now Obamacare because they're exactly the same thing, even though back in 2008, Obama criticized Hillary for doing it. So, you know, we can't win with either one of them.
Well, no, we can't.
Or Jeb Bush. We need
because, ready or not, you know, think about it. Hillary is still Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
she shouldn't be.
Hillary Clinton? I don't know why.
Because she shouldn't be. She, after all of the crap that he put her through, and she's still married to him, she's still part of his entourage, shall we say, there's something wrong there. I'm telling you. You know, this lady hasn't got a mind of her own, hasn't got a backbone of her own, obviously. And so if we put her into an office someplace and we depend on her to do something for our entire country, we're going to be really screwed. You think we were screwed with Mr. Clinton, and we're going to be really screwed with Mrs. Clinton.
Okay, well, let me throw this out there and to people. Like I say, it seems like from our perspective that, you know, like I say, the president is running around like a rock star, you know, in concert tonight, Barack Obama. Okay, that's all good and well. He's enjoying the limelight of the attention. But the dangers of it is, like I say, first of all, he is the CEO of our country and tearing a lot of things that took generations to build apart. And it's going to take years, if any, to be able to fix, especially with people coming in now that don't even know our history. I mean, like Memorial Day is coming up with people that don't even know what it's all about, which is really sad. And, you know, and people, they don't want to get involved. They don't want to get involved in politics. They'd rather stay involved. Or, you know, there's people that can recite 10 years of football and tell you exactly who played what position, and they don't even know who the vice president is. The point where I'm going with all that is that, yeah, it's all fun and games right now, but as they are destroying our rights and freedoms that we take for granted every day, you know, there's going to be a point that people are going to wake up, and it's going to be, well, shit.
Well, there's going to be a point where it's all going to collapse.
Yeah, exactly.
Around us. That's the thing. And are we going to be able to wake up to the fact that it's going to do that before it does it, or are we going to wait until after it does it?
Well, look at the BLM with the thing with Bundy. Why is the BLM armed like a military? In fact, Utah is putting through legislation to ask that question right there. The thing that really surprised them, and I don't advocate violence, but part of the Second Amendment and even the Constitution says that we have the right to dissolve our government if it gets out of control. That's not an exact quote, but that's basically what it says. All those people that came, even from other states, to support Bundy, whether he's right or wrong, you know, whether you feel that he was doing the right thing or wrong thing is not the point. These people came with firearms, and they were willing to fire on American law enforcement if it got out of control. And that's one of the reasons that they backed off. They did not expect. That's why they set up these little areas, you know, these little right-to-speech areas, the First Amendment areas. You know, let's put all the protesters over here in a corner and so we can ignore them. And people basically said, no, this is the U.S., the United States. We have the right to do this. We are defending our rights, and we're willing to fight for our rights.
Except I don't think they were. They didn't fight, and they just, you know, the thing is, there's two. He made a big stand, and that's fine, but he made a big stand for nothing, and he did it right from the beginning for nothing, as far as I'm concerned. I don't put a whole lot of stay in that position of his, because he was the only one that was in that fight. The other people that were even had farms around him didn't necessarily go along with what he had to say. They just stood on the side, and they didn't go either way. They just kept quiet and allowed him to scream a lot. I don't think he had much to say, to be honest with you. And it was all – because, see, he had been given so many chances before to do something about this whole thing. And all it was, all it comes down to is the fact that he didn't pay his rent for years and years and years. That's all.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not really it's not I'm saying that he was right or wrong. You know, the fact that the Bureau of Land Management came out with, you know, more military thing. They even closed off the airspace in I forget what the radius was, but quite a big radius. You know, because
Boy, had a big farm.
But, you know, you talk about, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Well, again, like I say, all the people that responded, it's just like Rosa Parks, who, you know, stood up against having been forced to ride in the back of the bus. Look at the movement that did. It took one person to ignite. That's why governments, not just our government, what they're doing.
But the thing with Rosa Parks, it took one person to do something, and then everybody gathered with her and on her side.
Thank you.
This guy, they didn't.
No.
He just sat there and screamed a lot on his own, and nobody else was with him.
Like I just said, there's a lot of people that came in to support him, and some of them were armed from other states. And it made national news. And that's, you know, the BLM did not want a war. And it looked like, you know, even if somebody would have actually fired back, you know, it could.
See, the way I saw it, these people that came in to back him up came in before they realized what was happening. And once they got there and realized what was happening, they didn't go along with him. I think they backed off. I mean, I may be wrong, but that's just the way I saw it.
Yeah. Well, anyways, but the whole point is, you know, people were getting pissed off. They were getting upset, and they were willing to back up. You know, but people got involved. That's the main thing right there. People got involved, and that's why countries, you know, and we see this a lot around the world, and we're starting to see it here, unfortunately. They're counting on the fact that people won't get involved. Even just, and I'm not saying get involved with weapons or violence. I'm saying that even getting involved in local elections. I mean, I'll even talk about, here's one that I keep reminding people every year he runs here in Lane County, Faye Stewart. Yes, I said it, Faye Stewart. And the reason why he's important, because we had an issue a while back. I think I'd have to go back and look at what date it was. The question came up about adding another 5 cents a gallon gas tax for a local city tax. The people said no. They did it anyways. The people finally riled up. In fact, even Faye Stewart commented that in all his years in office, he's never seen people so mad.
Good.
And so they went ahead and they got. It didn't take long to get signatures to put it back on the ballot again to repeal it. And of course, you know, the Lane County here is not exactly has white gloves per se. It wound up passing, but the point was, is that the people voted and said no, and it didn't matter. They went and did it anyways. And who's it? Just like with the presidency and like what's going on now, you know, we hear all the time, well, the executive orders are, if Congress won't do it, I will do it, or what, you know, the Constitution, and this is what Obama said, the Constitution gets in the way. When you don't have the checks and balances that are following through, you have tyranny, and you have a government that's out of control because it's no longer for the people, by the people, of the people.
Well, see, that's one of the problems we've got on here. Is for the people, by the people, is because, okay, with Faye, you know, the thing you got with Faye, he had no choice. There was no place else to get that money. And even when the people riled up and they had a vote on it, they found out there was no other place to get that money. They had to get it from someplace, and so they went ahead and passed the law. Now, my proposition is this. We need to stop spending the money.
Right.
Simple as that. We've got to do something to get somebody involved, somebody elected, or somebody somewhere that can stop us from spending that money. We're out of control, the entire country. But see, that's the thing. That's we the people part of it. They're out of control. They're getting all these things for nothing that they think they should get, except you can't everybody get something for nothing. Somebody has to give up something somewhere, and we're not doing it. We just keep spending more money and spending more money, and so we have to go out and we have to tax more. We have to go some way to get it. And that's we've got to change the way our people are talking about it, the way our the elective people are going about things, because nobody wants to give up anything. And it's going to have to happen. And like I say, it's not going to happen until it collapses. But it's going to collapse.
Well, here we're back to check and balances. Like, okay, Cover Oregon, for example, which is the Oregon's version of the health care exchange required by the Obamacare. $2.98 million spent on this project. It did not sign up one person. And they're kind of treating it, this just, I'm going to quit because whatever, it doesn't matter. $2.8 billion, million dollars of other people's money, big deal. Ha, 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 sorry, didn't work. How many projects could we have done for $2.98 million? In fact, you give me half of that, and I'll get a team together and write the damn program. I'll go to school and learn how to write the damn program. I probably could have done a better job. But that's a hell of a lot of money, but it's our money, and they're treating it like it's, there's more where that came from.
Well, I don't know. I'm afraid I'm not into writing programs or understanding how it's done. It was forced on us by the U.S. government to do this. It was not something that we tried to do on our own. And then, gee, please, why bother? Except that after a while, I'd become that, of course. But the thing is, it shouldn't have ever – see, it wasn't our government that did it, the Oregon government that did it. It wasn't a national thing. This was forced on us. We were told we had to do it, and then it didn't work. We didn't get out of it. It's not stopped. We just passed it on and decided to use something else. We're stuck with
the Obamacare coverage. But the point is that that's just one example about how our money is being taken from us, spent nonchalantly, and it's like, oh, no big deal. And again, then they turn around, and like Portland, for example, is trying to find ways of taking more money out of us, like the arts tax, and now they're trying to do a road usage tax, tax. And like you said, is that they need the money, you got to get from somewhere, but it's how they spend it.
No, it's not that how they spend it, it's that they spend it.
That they spend it.
We don't need it from somewhere. We need to stop this. We're spending way too much. We've got to go get it from somewhere. We've got to stop that philosophy. That whole philosophy is what's going to kill us.
Yeah. Well, that, and like I said, we're being taxed to death. Like I said, another article, getting back to Obamacare, for example, was because in 2016 is when you get the full fines. They're saying that in the last 4 or 5 years, at least during this administration, new entrepreneurships are down the most in history. Well, yeah, it's like, for example, I'm hoping to start a business soon, and immediately, my thoughts is that I'm going to have to pay $2,000 or 2.8% of my wages if I don't have health care, or spend $300 to $600 a month in health care. Anybody that's ever started the business, I used to own a business, so I used to be self-employed. Anybody that's ever started a business knows that it's going to be years before you can take money out of that. And now you're being taxed with per person this extra expense that if you don't, it's a law. You have to do it. You know, there's no way around it.
No.
Unless you're poor or illegal.
The only thing I'm thinking is that hopefully we're not going to start this business for a couple of years, and things are going to change. Things are going to change. They've got to change. If they don't change, again, you're not going to start your business anyway.
Okay, even if I don't start my business this year or next year, there are a lot of companies now that are having their health insurance dropped, and now they're forced because, again, the law, especially if you are a company larger than 50, you are by law have to have insurance coverage for your people. And so now they're finding out that their premiums are doubling to try and follow the law. Because either that or you get fined or whatever. If you're a corporation, the fines are a lot different than the individual. So companies are now getting this dumped on their lap, trying to comply, and it's putting a huge strain on the bottom line of businesses. And there are a lot of businesses out there that, especially smaller businesses, you know, I'm talking about, you know, between 50, 100, 200 employees, that their profit margin is not that great, you know, in this economy.
And well, there's a lot of them are gone now.
Exactly. That's my
Our unemployment rate is unbelievably high. It's unbelievably higher than we are measuring it. When you go to a website or a television station and you see what the – because there are a great many people who have just dropped out entirely.
Right.
And so if you go and look at somebody who's figuring that part in, our unemployment high is just unbelievably high. We're 12% unemployment. That's nationwide. It's not just in Oregon. And Oregon's bad.
Yeah, and that's just a number that they count. 646-721-9887. If you'd like to talk about what we're talking about or anything you want to talk about coming up, we're going to talk a little bit about illegal immigration and the executive orders, as well as a little bit more on the Benghazi affair. How do you feel about that? Do you think, do you agree that we actually should have the investigation committee regarding what happened that night of the attack? Easy for me to say.
Obviously not.
Obviously not. 646-721-9887.
See, I don't think we should be investigating the night of the attack. It's over, and we've spent 2 years screwing with it, and it's about time we just get off of it and work with something else. It's just time that we change the people entirely. And again, that's the problem with this whole thing is back to the people. We've got an awful lot of absolutely sit on their butt, lazy people in the United States. And some of those, and I hate to say it, are just not smart enough to understand how it's working. And they don't put it together. We got an awful lot of our population doesn't understand how this whole government is trying to work.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't blame them because it's impossible to figure it out entirely because it changes so often and it changes by the people that are in there. And that's why we've got to change the people that are in there.
Well, I think you hit the nail right on the head. They don't understand or they don't take it seriously. Like, I'll give you an example here in Oregon.
Well, I think they take it seriously.
Well, okay, here's my example. Under the previous governor, he called a special session, I think it was just a couple week session, to discuss the crisis in funding in Oregon. Okay? Special session, mind you, section. Anyways, what happened was the first topic that they talked about and passed had nothing to do with the budget. It was to decide and denominate the border collie as the state dog. They never did get around to talking about the budget, which is the whole point of the special session. I mean, that should be if you're going to bring it up and talk about it, that should be regular session, not special sessions to talk about, you know, who the state dog should be. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that because I didn't watch that. I didn't see what happened there. I don't remember that. So,
yeah, but that's just the point. Anyway, getting back to kind of our bullet points here, I wanted to, because we got 45 minutes remaining in the program, I wanted to touch on, because I think this is so funny and sad in many ways, is I wanted to get into the headline is that illegals visit Capitol Hill and demand amnesty through executive orders. And this is from CNSnews.com, if anybody wants to read the article. And it says, it starts out saying that to mark May Day, Representative Paul, and I'm not even going to try to bastardize his name, because nobody over there has the name of Smith. Anyway, he's a Democrat in Arizona, invited people who are in the country illegally to Capitol Hill, and where they released a list of executive orders that they believe President Barack Obama should put in place, including stopping all deportations, bring back deportees who have family here. And they're saying that, including they had a constitutional lawyer with us as well, that they created a the event was held in the Cannon office. Seven people who are part of the, quote, Blue Ribbon Commission, six illegal aliens and an immigration attorney, released a list of 14 things Obama could do, according to legal scholars, to provide amnesty to millions without constitutional approval. And I have that list here that I wanted to go through. Now, you know, here's the thing, is that whether you like you agree with it or not, okay, you know, crossing into the border is a misdemeanor. I think it should be more than that. Deportation, if you come back, is a federal crime. People get deported and come back multiple times and nothing happens to them. Either way, it's like asking the, you know, somebody breaks into your house and they're defending their right to break into your house. But anyways, here's...
Do you have any idea what the number is of people that are doing this?
Breaking into people's houses?
No, that are coming across the border.
They're saying 11 million, but they've dumbed that number down. It used to be 20 million. But here's
how do you possibly consider...
How do you know they're here illegally? Who knows?
No. How do you possibly consider dealing with that? How are you going to deport 11 million people?
You can't. The only thing you can do is lock the door.
I mean, how are you going to lock the door?
Lock the door, take away the carrot is the only thing you can do. You've created the problem.
That's take away the carrot. That's the way you've got to do it.
You got to take away the carrot because here's the point. Is that,
you realize what kind of a huge problem that is?
Taking away the carrot?
Yeah.
Yeah, because first of all, here's the thing. Businesses have gotten used to the cheap labor, and that's what they're liking. But they're pushing for amnesty. Now, here's the thing. Once people become legal and out of the shadows, as they say, they're going to start paying a normal wage, except for some companies pay more if you're bilingual. And that's going to take away the whole reason that they're pushing for this amnesty thing. But, again, called listening to the people. There's a lot of people that are just saying, we're not going to do anything, you know, unless you first of all, shut the door. Why should we do this? They came here illegally. Why should we reward them?
You can't shut the door.
By not enforcing the law has created a boondoggle of a big problem. But here I wanted to read some of the list here, and there's also some commentary from these people of the Blue Ribbon Committee. Executive summary. Number one. I feel like late night. Number one. Expand relief deferred action should be expanded to the fullest extent of the law as to as many people as possible. Okay. Number two. Don't click on this. See, it goes off your screen. Number two, end all programs involving local law enforcement and ICE collaboration, including secure communities, ESCOM, whatever, criminal alien programs, CAP, and the 287G, which I don't know what that is. Number three, protect basic rights by granting deferred action to individuals filing civil, labor, or human rights complaints and adopting a formal non-retaliation policy prohibiting agents from targeting defenders of civil, labor, and human rights for arrest, detention, deportation.
Do you have any idea what you just said?
It's legalese. What can I say?
Go ahead. My point is you don't know what you said.
Yeah. Basically, they're just saying that, you know, protect basic rights for granting deferred action to individuals filing. So, in other words, if you file a civil suit and you become out of the shadows, you shouldn't get punished because you came forward.
Okay.
That's the way I take it.
That's wrong.
Okay, you correct me then.
Well, no, I'm not correcting the way you take it. I'm saying that's wrong.
Oh, okay.
The idea of it is wrong.
Right. That's just like, for example, again, these people are illegal that came to this conference. If they were bank robbers and they all gathered into this conference thing here, they would not be going home. In fact, the government did that one time with people. I can't remember what state did this or city that did this. They, to help catch people that are doing graffiti, they spoofed a, like an audition and had these people show up and do their trade. And if it looked like the same type of art that's been going on in the city, they got arrested. It's entrapment, but, you know, again. Anyways, number four, eliminate the bed quota and dramatically curtail use of detention. Number five, revive ICE's enforcement priorities and expand low priority criteria. Number six, improve conditions in detention facilities and expand protections for vulnerable detainees, including pregnant women, HIV, transgender individuals, and people with disabilities. Okay, I can agree with that one.
Huh.
Well, I mean, you shouldn't.
I disagree with that one.
Well,
they shouldn't be put in there in the first place.
Okay, yeah, but there's a humane thing. If you're in okay.
That's a different way around it. You know, stick them with an ankle bracelet or something and make them take care of themselves at home.
Yeah. Start saying you're going to start chipping people and they'll take care of it. Number seven, stop collaborating with rogue sheriffs and terminate agreements with local law enforcement officials that undermine civil, labor, and human rights. They're referring to Sheriff Papayo, I'm sure. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, expand use of humanitarian parole to ensure that people previously deported can return to the U.S. Number nine, end all ICE home and community raid programs, including the criminal alien removal incentive. Eliminate the use of mobile biometric devices, which I don't know what they're doing with that, and ensure the protection of civil rights during all enforcement operations. Number 10, streamline. I don't know what that is. Number 11, terminate all federal contracts with private prison collaborators such as Correction Corporation of America, CCA, and GEO Group, etc. Number 12, end expanded removal of SIGS-enabled use, whatever that is. Number 13, implement prosecutorial discretion policies for Customs and Border Protection Active scope of the Customs Enforcement, including ending internal raids and acting to end migrant deaths on the border. And last, number 14, renegotiate trade agreements to eliminate provisions that cause displacement of communities and increase economic pressure on people to migrate and end negotiations on the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Now, who wrote all this?
This is part of the Blue Ribbon Commission report on deportation review. This is all stuff they feel that Obama under...
Okay, who was they?
This group, which is...
We don't know who the group is.
The group was put together by Arizona representative.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Yeah. And as they show the profiles and comments, for example, and again, well, I can almost pronounce his name, Noel Ramirez comments, for each person deported, a family is destroyed. Well, look at the opposite. For each person that left their family in wherever country they came from, left the family destroyed. You can take it that way. For each family that came across the border and drugged their children, knowing full well what type of life that they would be leading, is a family destroyed.
As far as I'm concerned, the committee that was put together that came up with these ideas should be put in jail.
Yeah.
Should be put in jail for life. Should, you know, I that's ridiculous. All of those points are absolutely ridiculous. We shouldn't do any of them.
And one comment is, Obama has lost his way on immigration. The best way for the president to begin to repair the harm of 2 million deportations is to listen to those most affected by his policies and act based on our recommendations. Well, again, it depends on your point of view. If you want to take it and look how, when you have 11 to 20 million undocumented people here and how it has affected us and the fact that they're pushing in Oregon, the question came up is, should we allow illegal aliens to get contractor's licenses.
We shouldn't allow illegal aliens to do anything. Let's face it, they are illegal.
That's the point. And this is what, okay, this is the catch-22.
No, it's not.
Well, let me tell you what the catch-22 is, then you can tell me it's not.
Okay.
You have to wait till I tell you before you disagree with me.
No, I don't, but go ahead.
Anyways, all right. The parents that brought the kids over here, here's the catch-22. You know, like they brought them over here 2-3 years old. They don't know the country they came from. But yes, they are technically illegal. So what are you going to do? You're going to separate them from the parents, which I think the parents should go back, to a country that they've never known and expect them to survive?
Well, that's the point I would make. But like you said, you know, why wouldn't we make the parents go back with them? I mean, why are we leaving the parents here and sending the kids home?
Exactly. You know, it's called putting responsibility where it belongs. The parents, which in any other case, would be child abuse. When you place a child in a bad situation or endangered situation, that's child abuse. Hell, you can't leave your kid alone in your car for 2 minutes without getting in trouble. And these people are crossing international lines. Like it or not, they're international lines, knowing, first of all, full well that they are, A, breaking the law.
Yep.
B, they're putting their kid into this type of situation.
Whether he's born or not.
Whether he's born here or not. That, well, I mean, if he's born here, it's a whole different thing. But, you know.
No,
but,
it's not.
But, you know, you're bringing the kid across, which is going to put this life in front of him. What type of life is it? Versus, as they say, our system is broken. It's not a perfect system. It takes years to come over here. But the people are putting in an effort to do it instead of going around, you know.
Well, see, they're, you say that our system is broken, but we're fixing the wrong thing.
We're fixing the wrong thing. You know, we're, like I said, we're rewarding people that are taking the shortcut versus people that have spent thousands of dollars, years of their time, to come through the front door and do it right. It's a slap in their face. And we're bending the laws. Like, for example, if you're illegal, you're not required to have Obamacare.
You're not required to have anything if you're illegal.
You're not required to have anything. You don't even
because
have
there's no way they can do anything about it.
Right.
I mean, if you're illegal, how can they put you in jail? They don't even have to follow our laws.
Yeah, that's my point. We have to.
Well, we should.
There's a lot of stuff that, you know, it's called selective enforcement. You know, even when, like, the state of Arizona tried to enforce federal law, the feds came down and said, you can't do that. That's our job. Then do it. Because here's the point, is that, you know, they're pushing, in fact, Obama's really pushing amnesty thing. And, okay, but, you know, they're talking about separation of families and all that. Hold the parents accountable. If the kid is here illegally and you're going to make him a citizen, then you force the parents to go through the immigration process and become legal. Are you, I'm sorry, you're going to have to do something about it. Nothing's going to change till A, you take away the carrot and you shut the door. I mean, we as a government have created this problem.
I don't like the phrasing you use is shut the door, because that makes people think there is something you can do to close the border or that you can do to stop this all from happening. You can't. You can't stop this from happening. You can't shut the door. So you've got to make it so bad to be here that they aren't going to come through the door.
Well, okay, well, here's another thing. National security. Anybody that wants to come across the border right now can do it with good or bad intentions. We don't know who's coming across, and we're doing it so lackadaisy, it's a joke.
Well,
we're a nation here.
The problem is we've got 11 to 20 million people here already,
right.
And if you make them mad, what are they going to do? There's enough of them to cause a war.
Well, that... Exactly, good point. The other thing is, who's their allegiance to?
That's my point.
Yeah.
There's enough of them to cause a war. There's enough of them to start a war. And they're not going to go a war with us against Mexico. They're going to go to a war with Mexico against us. I mean, let's face it, that's where most of them are coming from.
You're right. That is where most of them are coming from. And some of them, I'm not going to say all, some of them, you know, they still put the Mexican flag up above the American flag. There, 60 Minutes interviewed a lady one time that lives in a little Spanish community in, I forget which state it was. She's been here 18 years, doesn't speak one word of English, and actually told the interviewer, through a translator, of course, that she has no intention of, because she considers it an insult to speak English and doesn't have to because she lives in a Spanish community. And so the question I bring, if it's an insult to you to speak English, why the hell are you here?
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you here?
But the thing is, at this point, could she do anything else? Could she get back? Could she go back? Is there a way for her to live if she did go back? You know, women aren't treated the same in other countries as they are here. They aren't given the opportunity for all the jobs and things like that. And I feel sorry for them. I'm sorry that has to be the case. But the thing is, it shouldn't be our government that's protecting them. It shouldn't be our government that's supporting them. I mean, that's because they're doing that. You know, 11 million people is a lot of people. And we think, and I think it could be more. I think it could be closer to the 20 million that they're talking about. That's a huge amount of people. there's a huge amount of money. I mean, a gargantuan amount of our dollar bills. They're going to take care of these people. And I know a lot of them are taking care of themselves. A lot of them have jobs. A lot of them work very hard. And I agree that they do. But there's a, just still a huge amount of them that don't and aren't. And we're pretending that we're supposed to take care of them. And there's no reason that we should be taking care of them. I mean, you know, we'd be better off if we sent the money to Mexico and supported them while they were there.
Well, that's the point. You know, you take 11 million, 20 million people. If they all got together and they could stand up to their government and make their government, their own homeland, a better place to live. Instead, they're running.
Well, I don't know if they could make their own homeland a better place to live, because you got to have jobs, you got to have manufacturing, you got to have things that they don't have. And I know that they don't have them. But the thing is, they're running our country into the dirt, because it's going to be not very long before we're not going to have them either, well, and because there's so many of them here.
Well, that, and it wouldn't really be that big of an issue, and I think this is really what gets down to the root cause of it, is that if they were willing to assimilate into our culture, you know, it really wouldn't be that big of a difference. But that's not really what they're doing. They're coming in, they're refusing to assimilate.
I agree. I understand what you're saying. I don't think there's that big a number that's refusing. And it, again, there should be a way to make it against the law. And it is against the law. But we can't do anything about it at this particular point.
Anything.
So for us to do anything about it, we've got to start enforcing our laws. We've got to start enforcing our and I thought they had done this or had started doing this anyway, but I never saw many more of it. I saw a bunch of it on television where they were going to different farms and they were making it against the law to hire people at lower wages and so on and so forth. But until it can do that at all places, all farms, all jobs, then it's not going to help, because, you know, we can go out to 70 farms or 150 farms and we can make them pay regular minimum wage in the United States. And all that's going to do is help the people that are working in those farms. It's not going to make enough of a difference, because we've got to do it at all businesses, whether it's industrial or agricultural, whatever business it is, we've got to make them start paying minimum wage. And if they're paying minimum wage, they may as well hire minimum American people to do it.
Well, that's the point right there, is that, you know, you go ahead and have amnesty, you make everybody.
No, I didn't say anything about amnesty.
Okay, well, you make them legal, all right?
No.
Well, where I'm trying to go with this is that, you know, one of the reasons why farmers and other companies say we can't survive if we have to pay people a regular wage, you know, farmers especially. Well, for one thing, you change the laws that kids can't go and pick berries anymore, like you and I used to do. It's against child labor laws, for one. For two, if you can't survive on the same plane as everybody else, you don't belong in business. I'm sorry.
That's true. I agree.
You know, just like
and the fact that
contractors are hiring illegal aliens because it's cheaper.
That's right.
Which is taking jobs away from other contractors because they can't afford to bid the same thing, because, you know, you got labor wages, union wages, blah, 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 and you hire people for $10 an hour that'll do the job of a $30 an hour person. I don't know about the quality. That's a thing, too, you know, with the background, whatever, but they're looking at the wage. You know, once these people become...
See, I think these people are, a lot of them are really hard workers, and they could probably do the job just as well as our people could.
See, but the other argument they're making here is that I don't want to be legal. I mean, I have to start paying 30% wages to the government. I want to keep all my money I make. I look at how much I pay out. I get paid weekly, and I look at how much money that I pay out, and I'm scraping by paycheck to paycheck, and I could use that money.
Yeah.
I mean, let me use that money myself, put it back into the system, and let my purchases, even just basic life purchases, help the economy. But no, it goes to the government, and that's the last you see of it.
So now we've got to figure out how to convince our government to start making everybody in the United States on an equal footing.
And that's exactly what Obama's been pounding yesterday, that everybody should be on an equal plane. We should put a limit on capitalism.
A limit on capitalism? What the hell does that mean?
Capitalism. Because he's against, you know, he keeps saying, well, these people at the top. You're at the top. I'd love to put a limit on you. I'd like to put a gag on you to get you, you know, as far as you're going to come out and get these news coverage for selling your car, I'd like to put a gag order on you. But
see, that's the thing is, that's what I'm saying. We're listening to what he has to say, and we shouldn't be. I mean, the man has nothing to say. His term is over. He's through, and he has nothing to say. He just wants to talk to hear himself talk, and consequently, we're listening to him because he's the president, and we shouldn't be. We should be listening to somebody else. We've got to get into the candidate mode.
There is more respect for the office of presidency.
No.
And it's a shame because it used to be the president to look up to. You know, well, like back in 2008, kids were making videos praising this president. Now they're not doing that. But anyway, back to my point is that the government, wherever you want to put the blame, has created the issue by not enforcing the laws throughout the nation, has created an issue that is facing these lives. Like one person here in this Blue Ribbon Committee, I'm going to just kind of summarize because she does make a good point here, is that she is from a mixed status family, and she has seen the suffering of those unjust laws and deportation crises have caused my family and community, because she's right here in the middle of it. And here's the thing is that because there are more people in here, our kids are going to school with these kids, is now put a face to it. And that's why what makes it a little bit harder, because you know these people personally. Okay, well, like I say, here's the issue. We can't – how do you deal with 11 to 20 million people? Well, you can't deport them all. And like these kids, like I said, that came over here at 2-3 years old, you shouldn't deport them because unless they're going back with their families. I'm talking about deporting them by themselves. You know, send them on the bus by themselves and go, we're shipping you back to your country, which is a foreign country to you. We got to be stern, but we got to have some compassion, but we have to deal with the issue. And part of the main issue is, you know, like I say, take away the carrots, and we're going to have to, you know, hold the people that are responsible, which are the parents, who caused this problem anyways. But they decided, they made a choice knowing what the consequences are of coming into a foreign country. And they're whining that they, you know, that they're not being treated, you know, like an equal here. Well, you're not an equal. I'm sorry. You know, humanitarian issues aside, technically under the law, you are not an illegal you're not an equal because you are here illegally.
Right.
You're not entitled to the same benefits of a U.S. citizen. They're pushing to get illegals on Obamacare.
Well, that's the thing is, why is our government doing that? I mean, we've got to do something about our own government. We've got to hold them to some sort of a...
Well, since when have we become a second-class people in our own country?
Well, that's about what's happening.
I mean,
that's what happened. And it's almost to the point that they're going to outnumber us.
Well, yeah, it's already changed a lot. But here's one of my bitch and moans, which I have many. There's a company here in Eugene. Actually, they opened up in Veneta. They're being praised, you know, welcome. We got this call center here employing so many people. All right. If I applied for that job in the call center, $9 an hour. If I speak Spanish, they're going to pay me $12 an hour.
Well, see, that all should be over because we shouldn't have that disparity.
I agree. There's jobs that I've tried to apply for, like, for example, delivering a truck to Napa, the car parts place. Must be bilingual Spanish preferred. Yeah. They're not going to hire me as a driver to deliver supplies to different Napa stores in Salem, if I was in Salem. But, you know, the whole point is, because I'm not bilingual, they're not going to hire me in my own country for driving a truck.
That's right. But that's our own fault. That is our own fault, because we should there should be some rules. I mean, we have rules as to what you're supposed to be able to do to get into this country and how to become a citizen of this country. To become a citizen of this country, isn't language a part of the deal?
It is. It is a requirement that you are that you have to understand English. So you don't have to be fluent in it. You just have to understand it. It is a requirement. To this day, it is on the books. It's the same thing. Here's another one. To drive a commercial vehicle, it is stated in there. It is a requirement. You understand English enough to be able to understand and read and be able to converse with a law enforcement officer. It is the law. When you look at the list of violations of from companies from DOT, one of the top 10 is does not speak English.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, see, that's... Well, the thing is, I know what they're saying. You know, how do we go about deporting that many people? How do you?
You can't.
What do we do with them?
That's where. Well, you really can't, and that's where it's going to come back down to that. Okay, and this is getting back to the compassionate thing, or back to the problem that was created. You have families that have been here for generations. They set down roots. Some of them have jobs. You know, and you really, you know, the majority of the people you know, are really good people. You know, they're not criminals except for the fact that
I understand, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, think of whatever you may. And so they set down roots here. Granted, they shouldn't have, you know, but, you know, they have family, generations, and et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, to uproot them, I can see, could be a humanitarian thing. But what we can do is that these people have done everything else to assimilate. These people have learned the language the best they can. English is not an easy language to learn. In fact, being bilingual, anything, is not easy. My hat's off to anybody that can speak fluently in two different languages. You know, congratulations.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But the people that are really wanting to, like Jeb Bush said, they came here from love. Okay, great. We should have a system set up to those people that are really wanting to, that have made the effort to do it right.
We've got to solve the other problems first.
To solve the other
problems. Even more.
Right. You've got to be tough, but you got to be compassionate. It's got to be a balance right now because of the situation that has been created. It's like getting back to the plumbing thing. If you got a bunch of holes in your hose, you can keep throwing tape on as long as you want to, but sooner or later you're going to have to shut off the faucet and replace the hose, you know, or find out what's causing the leaks. And so it's just going to have to, we're going to have to stop accommodating. We're going to have to stop, you know, okay.
The thing is, you're defeating your own purpose with what you're saying, because in order to stop this, in order to change this, you're going to have to hurt some people.
Somebody's going to get hurt, yes.
And my problem is I don't want it to be me.
Right.
And so that's the way they sure.
feel. It's like, for example, I knew a gal that when I went to college that she was brought here illegally, and she lives every day in fear of being caught in that net. She's afraid that, you know, what's going to happen to her, especially as she gets older, you know. What's the point of going to college if you're technically you're not even allowed to work? And so the only way they can do that, they spoof somebody else's ID or they make up something and pray that they don't get discovered.
The thing is, you say, what's the point of going to college? Is she paying for it?
I don't know. We didn't get into that conversation.
I doubt it. I mean, there's so many – it's you've just – there's a point where somebody's got to get hurt. And I don't want it to be me. And that's the simple of it. And we've got to fix all of the other problems. We've got to fix the pay scale, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I get two or three words that I try to get going at once here. you got to fix that so that everybody gets the same amount of pay. And you got to fix all the other different things that we've got going that are causing people to come to this country. We've got to fix the carrots and make them work so that that it's not more of a you can't make it. See, if you make it too easy, if you make it easy at all on the people that were trying to get out of the country, and trying to make it easy for them to become citizens and so on and so forth, then this whole thing is not going to work.
No. I mean, it used to be to even come over here on a visa, you had to have a sponsor.
Right. I think it still is. I mean, the simple fact is we've got to change it back. We've got to change that. And if we take all those people that we have on the border off the border, we have enough people in law enforcement to handle it.
Right.
Because and we could do that if the people didn't want to come across the border. And so, but we've got to make it so that they have no advantage to crossing that border, no matter how easy it is or how hard it is, to make it more. I know the farmers and the big business people that are trying to get cheap labor, they're going to think they're being picked on.
Right.
And it's about time they'd be picked on, because it can't continue like that. Now, then once that they've stopped being picked on and they're not being picked on and they're paying the regular wage of people, then the rest of us are going to think that we're being picked on because the prices are going to go up. Prices are going to change. Food, things like that, are going to go up a little bit. And we're going to feel that we're being picked on, and we are, all because of this big problem that everybody wanted to just ignore
right.
for so many years.
Yeah, it's a thing called capitalism and supply and demand.
I don't think it's capitalism. It misses being capitalism when you're not paying equal wages, when you're not doing things equally.
Agreed.
That's no longer capitalism.
No, that's not. No, I totally agree with you. But I guess what I was referring to is like your thing about the farmers. Yeah, it may cost a couple more dollars for an apple, but if there's a big demand for apples, well, then the price, it justifies that. But on the other side of the coin, if you're going to pay somebody pennies on the dollar wages to harvest that apple,
I don't believe that the pennies on the dollar wages actually is enough to make it up. I don't think it's going to make that much difference. You're talking about, let's say you get a big farm and it hires 100 people
right.
to work for them. The difference between $10 an hour and $20 an hour is 10. But the thing is, that's going to feed how many people? It's going to feed far more than 100 people. And so the $100, the 100 people that we're paying more, isn't going to make that big a difference in the price of carrots.
Well, to go back to Henry Ford's example, a lot of companies, especially when they're startups or whatever, decide that cheaper labor. Henry Ford's philosophy was that he paid a higher wage to his employees. His employees are also consumers. He wanted them to buy his product.
Yeah.
And that's one of the philosophies that helped bring...
Well, see, the thing is, they're already doing it now. I mean, these people that are here illegally are already buying our product. They're already buying the carrots, and they're feeding their families and so on and so forth. And so that's the difference. Paying them, we're going to raise probably double their wage overnight. But the thing is, if we do that, there's no way we can guarantee that the regular people, that so many people that are out of work at the moment, are actually going to come back into the job market. I mean, because I ready or not, these people, if they're hiring for $10 an hour instead of $25 or $30 an hour, are not stupid. They're not dumb, and they aren't unskilled. I mean, so many of them are not. I understand it on the farms that a lot of them are unskilled. But the thing is, so many of them are not. And we're not going to be gaining a lot as far as, I'm trying to figure out what would stop or what would make those people go home. It's because they're just going to get a big raise. And we're not going to accomplish a thing.
No.
I mean, a lot of the ones that are unskilled are going to go home. And a lot of unskilled labor goes home during the season anyway. But we've got to stop allowing our money to go elsewhere.
Well, see, you're bringing up a good argument about the complexities of the of the situation right now. I mean, it's easy to say, in fact, a lot of the forums, you know, when you read comments, depart them all! You can't do that. The problem has gotten too big to do that. That's why I'm saying you got to show some compassion,
Well, the first person you've got to hurt is us.
Well, part of the compassion it could be, okay, if you're going to stay here, you are going to follow the INS or ICE or whatever they're calling it today, regulations. You are going to, I don't expect a person that's 90 years old to start learning English. Come on, you got to make some exceptions. In fact, even the law makes exceptions. You are going to start assimilating into our culture as a requirement for you to stay here. If you fail to do that, and we give you a reasonable time limit, you know, like 1 or 2 years or something like that, and you got to show you are actively doing this, which makes a lot more sense than coming up with a big fine that you may not be able to afford anyways, that you're actively working on assimilating. Not the other way around. Like in Oregon, for example, in Astoria, it is a requirement now of the kids starting out in first grade all the way through 12 that half of their classes are taught in Spanish. Our children are being forced to learn Spanish. It's not the other way around.
I know what you're saying. We've
got to stop accommodating.
Well, I think it's a good thing that we're learning the Spanish, but for entirely different reasons. And as long as it's, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but as long as we're not being forced to do it.
Right. I got no problem with learning a second language. I'd love to have learned a second language. You know, the only second language I know is HTML. Yeah, it's computer related. That's my second language, which actually, believe it or not, does qualify. But the point is that, you know, we're a melting pot. Yeah, keep your culture, but respect our culture. You're here in our country. You know, that's why, you know, we have different religions. You know, I mean, primarily they'll say, you know, we say we're a Christian-based culture, but we still, you know, I'm not going to say allow, but we have other religions as well that are just as welcome. When that's why it gets me upset when people are going, well, I'm offended by the word Christmas. Okay, well, fine. You come into work on the 25th, and we'll enjoy time with our families and the overtime, you know. But yet, on the same time, you want us to respect your religion and days and whatever else. It's got it, you know. I don't know if I'm making sense or not.
Well, you are. I know what you're trying to say, and I know that's a hard one to figure out what to do with too. You know, we are not just a Christian country. We are all kinds of religions. And that was what the whole point of us becoming a country is concerned, is so that we could have our own religion and think the way we want to think.
Right.
And it was everything. I mean, it wasn't just Christian religion. So consequently, I agree with that. But the thing is, we've come around to the point that the language is a different thing. I mean, in almost all instances, I believe they should have to be learning the language, absolutely right. And if you're not in the process of becoming an American citizen legally, then you should not be allowed to stay here. And now, if you wish to stay here and work your way through and make your way in here, then get yourself in the process of making you an American citizen. But if you're not in that process and actually working at it, then you should go home. I don't care where home is.
Oh, I totally agree. And it comes back down to, and I'm trying to see if I can find it real quick here. You know, who is your allegiance to? You're here in our country. If we actually get attacked, are you going to defend us?
Oh, yeah, they do. I mean, that's not the problem. They are going, you know, we have a great many Mexicans that are not Americans, that are not citizens, that are in the army. I mean, that's already the case. Right. So that's not the case. The simple thing is, you have to become a citizen. You know, that is the actual point of entrance. You have to become a citizen, and you can't stay here after such and such a time if you don't. Simple as that.
I'm reading through the USCIS.gov website about naturalization, the requirements for it. Excuse me. And they're talking about, let's see, the pages scroll down. I hate it when you go to a website and it starts scrolling all over the place on you. It says you may qualify for naturalization if you have been a permanent resident for at least 5 years and meet all the other eligibility requirements. Please see the past citizens set page. You've been a permanent resident for 3 years or more and met all the eligibility requirements to file as a spouse. You qualify. You have qualifying service in the U.S. Armed Services and meet all other eligibility requirements. If you're illegal, well, I guess if you're on a visa, never mind. Your child may qualify for naturalization if you are a U.S. citizen. The child was born outside the U.S. The child is currently outside the U.S. and other. So let's go to the path of U.S. citizenship page. And they're talking about green cards, which is people have been complaining about because you, by law you have to carry that green card with you all the time, and they're saying they shouldn't have to. Well, actually, there's a law you have to carry. Everybody has to carry identification with them at all times. I'm just going to kind of skip through here and see what the actual requirements are. You know, this is one thing about doing it at the last minute, trying to find things. But
you know, the law that everybody's supposed to carry identification, that's the one that gets to me. It's because somebody better determine what is identification.
Exactly.
Because, you know, a lot of people say, okay, well, your driver's license is good enough, but other people say it's not. And I don't, for example, there are people now who don't have a driver's license.
Right. Let me just kind of read this because we're coming up towards the top of the hour. Again, eligibility requirements. Be able to read, write, and speak English and have knowledge and our understanding of U.S. history and government civics. So it says right there as part of the requirements. Be a person of good moral character, attached to principles of the Constitution of the United States, hell, even not people in our government. The other argument in favor of getting back control of our sovereignty of our state real quick here is, besides the fact we don't know who's coming and going, is that we have no control over, you know, people that are coming in through the side door. You know, we are seeing more diseases and other stuff like that. Not saying not everybody's bad, but, you know, you can be a carrier and not even know it.
That's the thing.
But there is a process in place to do it. If there wasn't a process in place, then I can see a different story. It's not a perfect process. Compared to other countries, we are a lot easier than other countries to come in through the front door. Again, we're out of time.
It would be interesting to find out. It would be interesting to read that same statement in the Mexican Constitution.
Yeah, good luck with that.
How difficult would it be to get into that? Well, I don't need it, but that's okay. Somebody can.
Yes. Anyways, we're out of time. We'll be back again next Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you very much for checking us out. And again, I encourage you, if you have a send your emails to talk@krbnradio.com. Follow us on Facebook. Please subscribe. And we'll catch you again next week.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.